to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, April 23rd, 2023, by Eric Williams.
I don't know if you remember a show from a few years ago. I watched only a couple episodes, but I found it kind of fun. The show was called Undercover Boss. Anybody watch that show? The setup was that a CEO would go undercover and pretend to be a new employee and learn about the company from the bottom. And some of the stories were pretty amusing. One CEO got fired for incompetence during his first week. Another CEO almost collapsed from working on an assembly line, couldn't handle the physical stress of the job. And all of them, I'm sure, learned more about their company than maybe they even wanted to know, but hopefully gained some insight. Well, today's gospel, if you think about it, could read as an episode of Undercover Boss. Cleopas and another disciple are walking on the road to Emmaus, and a stranger comes along with them and then is surprised. You know, he's asking them, "Hey guys, what's happening? What you doing? What you talking about? What do you mean you don't know what's been going on in Jerusalem about Jesus?" And then, surprise, it's Jesus in the end, right? So kind of an undercover boss type of story. The disciples see Jesus in the end. To me, it reads also kind of like a mystery story. I was talking last week about how I love mystery stories, and Easter Day is kind of a mystery story. Now, in a typical whodunit, the whole point is there's a dead body and nobody knows who done it. But in the story of Jesus, of course, everyone knows who done it. It was Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus, and then his body was taken by Joseph and buried. There's no whodunit there. The whodunit comes on the third day, which is the setting of our gospel today. We're back on the first Easter day. The women come to the tomb, and Jesus is not there. They have an encounter with angels. They come back to the 11 disciples and tell them about this story, and the disciples don't believe them, right? Don't believe the women. Not an experience I'm sure any woman in this room has ever had of not being believed, but they had that experience. And Cleopas, who's not one of the 11, and this other disciple, they could be a married couple, we're not sure, but they're part of that larger group of disciples. They also don't believe. That's why they've left Jerusalem. They have left town. Their hearts are broken. It's very poignant when they're talking to this stranger and they tell him all about Jesus, and then they say these words, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Their hope is in the past. Their hope has died. They're stuck in Good Friday with the dead Jesus. And so there's nothing left for them in Jerusalem, and they are heading out of town. They are going, you might say, the wrong way. Then the mystery deepens. They meet this stranger on the road who walks with them all the way, 7 miles. That's a long walk. You walk 7 miles, that's a pretty long walk. So they're walking a good part of the day to the village of Emmaus. It's getting dark. And on the way, this stranger talks to them about the scriptures and how all of the scriptures from Moses and the prophets have all been testifying to what God was doing in Jesus. How slow of heart you are to not understand what's really going on. And something begins to change in them. Something's going on. Their hearts are burning. But they haven't quite had that light bulb moment. Something's going on inside, but it hasn't yet come to the surface. And then they do one critical thing. They invite this stranger to stay with them. They offer hospitality, a huge theme of the scriptures. Think of Abraham when another group of mysterious strangers came to him at the Oaks of Mamre, and he invited them to sit at table with him. And when they ate with him the food that he had prepared, they were revealed to be God. Well, a similar thing happens here. They invite this stranger in. He sits at the table, and suddenly, if you notice, they're no longer the hosts. The stranger is the host. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. And as soon as he does, he is revealed to them as the risen Christ. And then, in one final twist of the mystery, he vanishes. Ooh, I get goosebumps. Why does he vanish? Where does he go? Has he left them again? Are they still to be brokenhearted? No. Now, it all comes together for them. All those words they had heard on the road with this stranger, the interpretation of the scriptures, now it all comes together. And they have that light bulb moment, that aha moment, that conversion moment, and suddenly they are overjoyed. They don't wait a whole night. They don't sleep in that house. They immediately take off and go 7 miles back to Jerusalem to join the other disciples, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be empowered for their ministry of testifying to Jesus and living the life that he was calling them into. It's a fabulous story. If you think about it, it really lays the foundation for all of our Christian life. In this one beautiful mystery story, we have the whole pattern of what it means to be a Christian. It means that our worship every Sunday, if you think about it, there's two parts. Part A is the Word of God. We hear four readings from Scripture, often from the Old Testament, though not in Easter, a psalm, an epistle, and a gospel. The priest does their best to try to interpret it. And then we don't stop the service there, do we? We don't stop with that beginning part where our hearts are beginning to be set on fire by the Word of God, by God's way of interpreting. No, then we have to experience God. It's not enough to know and to learn. We also must experience the reality of the risen Christ. And how do we do that? In the same way that Cleopas and the other disciple did. We gather at a table. We take bread, we bless the bread, we break the bread, and we give the bread. When we do, Jesus is there. He is revealed to us in that moment. We take him into our bodies, into our hearts, and into our lives. We are fed and strengthened like Cleopas and the other disciple, to do the work that God has given us to do. There's one other thing that I love about this story, and it gives me a lot of hope. Because when we look at our lives and we look at the world, it often seems like we are right there with Cleopas and the other disciple, still wondering if we can have hope in a time of such turmoil, such angst, such violence, such sin. How can we had hoped, right? We really can get that. We had hoped that God was real. We had hoped that our faith would make a difference. We had hoped that the world might be changing in a positive direction. And then we too have doubts. And sometimes we too are walking in the wrong direction, away from the presence of God, towards Emmaus. But Jesus, if you notice, didn't give up on those disciples. He didn't say to them, as he could have, well, I guess they're out of the club now. They've rejected me. They've given up hope. Forget them. I'll work with the good ones. He doesn't do that. He takes time. Get this. The risen Christ takes time to walk with Cleopas and the other disciple 7 miles in the wrong direction. Takes time to share with them the good news of the scriptures, interpreting Moses and the prophets. Takes time to be with them at that meal and to break bread with them. Takes time to show them the reality of his resurrection. And because of that, they're able to turn around. You know, that's what the word repent means. It just simply means you're going the wrong direction. You do a U-ey or a Michigan left. I learned about that. You do a Michigan left and suddenly you're going the right direction. That's what happened to Cleopas and the other disciple. Could have been his wife, or some scholars think the other disciple is, guess what, meant to be you and me. Because we too are often walking the wrong direction. We too have our hope and our faith tested, and Christ comes to us in the same way to help us to turn around, to experience the reality of his presence and his love, to be renewed in our faith and hope. And we too then can race back. I bet it took a third the time to get back to Jerusalem as it had to walk to Emmaus, because they were shuffling, depressed on the way to Emmaus, but they were sprinting with joy back to Jerusalem. And my friends, that's my prayer for you and me, that as we gather again at this table, as we hear again the scriptures and have our hearts enkindled, as we experience the reality of Christ in this Eucharist by taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, and sharing it, that we too might be so filled with the power of Christ's resurrected presence, the power of the reality of Christ in our lives, that we can sprint through those doors to do the work that God has prepared for us to do, to boldly go through the servant's entrance, to take up our cross and our resurrected life, and to live it with hope and faith and power and joy, along with Cleopas. Amen.